It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Can't we just revel in this for a moment? It is the Celtics post game show. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, tonight alongside Matt Rury. We've got Jared Scally behind the glass pulling double duty tonight. Is Jared. He was my co-host, my engineer, my producer for the Celtics pregame show on ESPN Radio New Hampshire. Tonight, we broadcast live in our CLNS Radio studios. You find us clnsradio.com, ESPNNewHampshireRadio.com. Lots to talk about this evening. While it wasn't always pretty, Matt Rury, the Celtics did get back to their winning ways. The final score tonight, Boston 115, New York 87. Like I said, it wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing basketball game, but for a team that was reeling a bit this week, it certainly was good to see.
Yeah, the outcome is definitely what you were expecting as a Celtics fan and what we wanted to see. But it was definitely not all roses out there. To use a sports cliche, the Knicks lost more than the Celtics won tonight, in my opinion, because it was just that I said it last night on CLNS Radio. This is a dumpster fire of a team in New York. They are just in shambles. And what do they have? 6 technical fouls called on them tonight. We can get into all of them as they went along the game, along throughout the game there. But man, does that team have any composure at all? I don't see it.
Well, they don't have much composure. And sure, we can pick apart the Knicks, but I don't think the Celtics have the luxury after what we've seen this week, Matt, from the Celtics and just completely giving up no-shows, 2 no-show performances this week back-to-back in D.C. and against the Nuggets. You know, unacceptable performances. We've said it on this show before. We'll continue to say it for as long as these guys are injured. Again, I've got no problem with the Celtics losing basketball games when they're down 2/5 of their starting lineup. It's the fashion, the manner in which the Celtics have played this week. Tonight I did see a return to some of that sense of urgency. They forced 25 turnovers for the Knicks. Celtics just 15 turnovers. Celtics 16 steals tonight. They kept it close on the boards. The Knicks finished with 57 rebounds. The Celtics 53. But I think the most telling statistic, Matt, and the most optimistic statistic for the Celtics is they returned to what made them relevant last year. They returned to what made them a very good basketball team last year. 7 players tonight in double figures, of course, led by Isaiah Thomas. So in a game where, sure, you can certainly pick apart the Knicks and say that they were a dumpster fire and yada, 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 I will say the Celtics desperately needed this victory, and there were more good signs than bad. And after the week the Celtics had, I'll take it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. This was a total team victory. I'm not trying to take anything away from the Celtics, but there were definitely some instances where they looked sloppy still. And the Knicks still, Patrick, something that we talked about just a few days ago, the Knicks still had 21 offensive rebounds against the Celtics. So there were definitely some struggles on the glass for the Seas tonight, and they made up for it in other ways, and that's why they won this game by almost 30. But regardless, they did play as a team, like you said, a lot of guys in double figures, just looking through the box score, if that's all you're looking at out there, or you're just listening to us, they spread the ball around. They had a lot of good plays where they were looking for the extra pass. They were fighting themselves on the offensive glass. They had 19 rebounds of their own on the offensive side of the boards. So the effort that we discussed them lacking a few days ago, it showed up tonight. And you mentioned it, they forced a lot of turnovers tonight, so the ball pressure was there too. That's something that you and I talked about after that game on Wednesday night. They had a different effort here tonight, and that was great.
Yeah, it absolutely was great. It was good to see. It was refreshing to see. It was much needed for this basketball team. I think we've sort of exhausted the topic, Matt, over the course of the last week or so here. Again, when you're missing 2/5 of your starting lineup, 2 of your most important players, you're going to lose some basketball games. It's all about the effort for this team, getting back to what made them successful the last 2 years. outworking their opponent. And there were some signs of life in that department tonight. And look, I think that when you see the ball go in the basket, you start to get some confidence. You start to play with that edge. And I can't believe I'm going to do this. But Kelly Olynyk played a big part in that tonight. The Celtics have been reaching and looking and searching for somebody to step up since Jay Crowder went down, because he's such a big part of their offensive game. And tonight, Kelly Olynyk shines, goes for 17 points, but more importantly, stretches the floor, 3 for 5 from 3. And that's so vital, so important. You're able to see Isaiah Thomas get to the rim. Even Terry Rozier get to the rim. Marcus Smart do great things, get to the rim. And that's all because the Celtics had a legitimate three-point threat on the basketball court tonight.
Yeah, and that's all it is a threat, right? That's all that you need to have anyway. Regardless of whether he's playing well or not, which he did play well, very well tonight, he fit right into that starting lineup, and he had a big impact in this game. And I think that it's a good thing that the Celtics let him seemingly get to be 100% as far as his physical stature is concerned before he jumped out on the court, because this guy has been riddled by injuries in the past, and I feel like he's rushed back before. But he looks good. He's going to get his conditioning back, but he fit into the offense. And more importantly for me, he grabbed 5 defensive rebounds, and that's something that I think is what the Celtics are really lacking, especially with Horford not playing right now in that concussion protocol. To have another 7-footer on the defensive end that's just going to be around the rim and able to fight on the glass is going to help this team in the long run.
So it is the Celtics post-game show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN, New Hampshire Radio, ESPN, nhradio.com. As always, our opening segment is powered by Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. Don't forget, you want to use our promo code GARDEN. That made-to-measure suit will cost you just $389, 50% off of the regular price. What you want to do is visit their Boston showroom. It's on Newberry Street. You get fitted for your made-to-measure suit so you can start looking as sharp as we do. We visited that showroom. We got fitted, and it was a truly, truly amazing, one-of-a-kind experience. So remember, go to Indochino.com, use promo code GARDEN, or better yet, stop by their Newberry Street location and mention a garden to get your made-to-measure suit and your discount today. Of course, the number to join us here on the Movement Watches, toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. And it is two of those Movement Watches toll-free phone lines we go. It is my good friend Nick Sesento. Nick, you are first up on the program this evening.
Matt and Pat, two of my favorite hosts. You know, you guys are like epic studs in your Indochino suits and your Movement Watches.
I don't know about that. Company man, everybody. Company man, Nick Sesento. Here you go.
Can we stop this, though? Matt, can we stop this right now, though? We are not going to start our own podcast, our own show called The Matt and Pat Show. It's probably not going to happen.
That's the
don't
first
let
and
that
last time
on.
You're going to hear that around here.
What's on your mind, Nick?
My bad. I didn't mean to coin the phrase here, but yeah, I think you guys covered it pretty well. Kelly Olynyk was the star of the show. I think in his second game back this year, it was nice to get the production we got out of him, especially those 7 rebounds. That was, that was big. I personally like him in the starting lineup. I think that the starting front court that Brad was going with, Tyler Zeller and Amir Johnson, was possibly the worst starting front two in the Eastern Conference. I mean, if not the league, that was just a really bad duo. And getting Kelly Olynyk back, who is pretty much the exact opposite in terms of playing style of Amir Johnson, I think was, a big pickup. My question is, I think that Kelly Olynyk is clearly better than, obviously, Tyler Zeller, and probably, I would say, in my opinion, better than Amir Johnson. I would like to have him in the starting lineup. I just don't know if once Al Horford comes back that, that again, that might create some, problems up there in the front too, with the two big men who are kind of more outside players that, aren't known for, mixing it up to get the rebounds. I know Al Horford has been pretty good defending the basket, relatively good compared to some of his other stats. I think he's averaging 2.5 blocks this season in the games that he's played. But do you guys think that maybe starting Kelly Olynyk alongside Al Horford might help this team in any way? Because I just don't know what I think about Amir Johnson's contributions thus far this season. He had that one monster game, but everything else besides that has really been real bad. And tonight there were some real bad opportunities that he missed on the offensive glass, or on the rebound, the glass. And if he's not going to give us that, you know, that hustle and that, you know, that grit on the boards, I don't really know what he's good for.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're dead on here, and I like Amir Johnson as a player. I liked when the Celtics signed him. I didn't like the dollar amount that he was signed for at the time, but that's neither here nor there. Value, we can talk about value all we want another time. The point is, I think that Amir is becoming a bench player on this team, and that's not a bad thing, because we, as Celtics fans, look at this team and say they have one of the better benches in the league, or we expect them to have one of the better benches in the league. And I think Amir Johnson can help with that. But more importantly, putting Kelly Olynyk next to Al Horford, I think at times will force either one of them down into the paint on offense. And that's something that I think will be good, because Horford has already shown off his outside shot. We know this guy can shoot the ball. So the two of them can spread the floor. If you want to clear things out for Isaiah, you throw everybody on the perimeter, right? Otherwise, one of them can go down low, and they do have offensive moves in the post as well. So I think putting Olynyk next to Horford is going to do wonders for this team, because they both can crash the boards as well. So
one
of them's going in, one of them's going out. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing, guys. You know, this is what Brad Stevens does, right? So it all depends on matchups with Brad. We've seen it. It's maddening at times. We've talked about it on the show. We've talked about it on the pregame show. You'll see guys make solid contributions one night and say, where are they the next night? And if Brad Stevens thinks that these guys don't give the Celtics an upgrade position-wise, matchup-wise, he'll go with somebody else. So if you're not Isaiah Thomas, you're not Jay Crowder, you're not Avery Bradley, and now you're not Al Horford, your minutes are up for grabs, depending on the matchup, night in and night out. The other problem we've got here, guys, is Kelly Olynyk. We've seen this act before. So until Kelly can go 2 or 3 months playing consistent basketball and staying relatively healthy, I'm just not ready to anoint him the Celtics, you know, starting front court member, be it at center or power forward. I'm not there yet with him. Tonight, he looked great tonight. Mm-hmm. He gave the Celtics what they needed tonight. But again, we've seen this act from Kelly before. The next step in his progression as a player is to do it consistently, both at home and on the road.
But Brad gave Jared Sullinger the starting position, and Jared Sullinger never proved any of those things that we're expecting from Kelly Olynyk in terms of remaining consistent with, you know, consistently able to get on the court, staying conditioned, not being injured. Jared Sullinger was all of those things, and he still earned that position.
Okay,
but
Jared Sullinger did one thing for this team that nobody else did, right? And we've seen
rebounded,
exactly, and we've seen the absence of Jared Sullinger has actually been missed to start the season. And you know, Jared and I talked about it on the pregame show today. Everybody's most recent memory of Jared Sullinger is how poorly he played post All-Star break through the playoffs. The biggest
You're missing
problem
that booty,
with Jared,
Patrick.
Exactly. The booty is missing. But I'll tell you, Jared Sullinger, the last two seasons, came into each season in relatively good shape for Jared Sullinger and played excellent basketball for the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season. It's as the season went along, the guy got fat again. And by the time March rolled around, he was almost irrelevant out there. But they really do miss what Jared Sullinger brought to this team. And without Al Horford here for now, more than half their games, they've had nobody really to make up what they lost in Jared Sullinger on the glass.
Yeah, as much as Tyler Zeller tries, he's not going to be that guy, right? He's just not strong enough to compete with most of the big men in this league night in, night out. He's not athletic enough. He can stand there and grab what comes to him, but you've seen – over the course of the first few games here, Avery Bradley is a better rebounder than most of the big men on this team. So I think it's going to be good to have Olynyk out there, but Horford is the key. He's really the one that's going to drive the Celtics if they're going to become a better rebounding team, because otherwise they don't have the bodies to do it.
Nobody.
Against other teams in this league.
But I will say this, the Celtics, you can tell that Brad did get into their ears, get into their heads the last couple of days, because although they did get out-rebounded by, I think, 4 rebounds tonight, you could tell from jump tonight that it was programmed in their heads to crash the defensive boards. Everybody did it. It was obvious if you were watching the game that there was much more of an emphasis placed on crashing those boards.
Absolutely, but there are only so many rebounds that Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley can grab. They got 12 combined tonight. That's on the defensive end. That's a big number for guards in this league. They're not going to average those numbers, and it's going to even out somewhere. So at some point, the big men on this team are going to have to start grabbing some rebounds.
Nick, before we drop you tonight, I do want to ask Derrick Rose. He had his moments, but he's still not close to what we've seen from Derrick Rose in years past. Are you buying
he's
and
done.
Selling?
He's done.
On
he's
Derrick? You think he's done?
I'm sorry, you were breaking up a little bit there, Pat, but Derrick Rose is washed. I don't think there's anything left. I think that he's pretty much a wrap. I don't think there's anything left coming out of Derrick Rose. I think what we saw tonight is basically what you're going to get. Someone that shoots probably around 30-something percent, you know, gets his, you know, maybe between 10 and 15 points, and, you know, maybe gets a few assists. And, you know, that's about it. I don't see much from Derrick Rose. I was much more impressed by Marcus Smart, who played kind of the Evan Turner type role to get the gratuitous Evan Turner mention out of the way in his 12 points. His 12 points, 10 assists, and 6 rebounds. He played that point forward role, and I think that's good. I think Brad Stevens likes to. Well, I know Brad Stevens likes to have multiple ball handlers on the floor, multiple distributors. And if Marcus Smart can, you know, be out there playing with Isaiah Thomas and you know get a few extra passes along with some, you know, two of the better passing big men in the league, Al Horford, who does very well in the assist column, and I think Kelly Olynyk is a very, very, very good point center. I think that's a lot of ball movement and ball handling, and I think that's great. I think Marcus Smart really proved something tonight. If he could do that more consistently, and that's my question with Marcus Smart, is his consistency. If he could do that consistently, I think he's obviously shown the ability to play that the three position if we need him to do that.
Not that I want to turn this into the Nick Sesento show, but have you been following Evan Turner so far this season?
He's been terrible. Absolutely. Okay.
I just want to make sure you're not going to defend him for some reason.
No, we don't need him back. Nothing that I've said, and I've said it multiple times on the show, because Justin Poulin likes to make it a point to basically ask me about Evan Turner during every call that I make when I'm not hosting. And I know that he's terrible. He was a product of Brad's system, absolutely. I think that now Marcus Smart needs to be that same type of product. The unfortunate thing is that Marcus Smart has a tendency to kind of shoot like Evan Turner too, which is not, you know, the best, you know, acquittal of his talent. But, I mean, tonight being able to get rack up, what was it, 10 assists that he had, Marcus Smart had, I think that was extremely important. I think that was big for our team tonight to have that second, you know, because Isaiah Thomas is more prone to driving and scoring anyway. So having the guy like Marcus Smart, who doesn't score all that well or consistently, who doesn't score that consistently, passing the ball and getting 10 assists is a bonus, a huge bonus.
And some of those assists, Patrick, were really just beauties. Like the cross-court assists, full length of the court assists, bounce passes. Marcus Smart was on tonight. You got to give him credit.
Oh, Marcus Smart looked great tonight. And you know, that's Jarrett's binky. He's a big believer in Marcus Smart. We had a whole conversation on the pregame show. If it were up to Jared, he would trade Isaiah right away. He doesn't think Isaiah is a very good player. He doesn't think the Celtics can build around Isaiah, and he would build the Celtics around Marcus Smart. I'm not sure that's the best plan, and we can get into Jared Scalley and what he has to say about Isaiah Thomas versus Marcus Smart when we return on the program. Of course, the number to join us here this evening on the Movement Watch is toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771. I'd be remiss if I did not mention this. CLNS Radio and our headlining show, Celtics Beat, is giving away two tickets for the Celtics versus the Detroit Pistons coming up in just a couple of weeks. The game is November 30th, Celtics versus Pistons. All you need to do to have a chance of winning these tickets is subscribe, rate, and review Celtics Beat on iTunes. That's it. Subscribe, rate, and review. The winner will be drawn at random by the one and only Larry H. Russell. New episodes of Celtics Beat with Larry H. Russell are available each and every Sunday morning, and Larry has got a treat for you this Sunday. He's got Pistons legend Isaiah Thomas on the program, and I can't wait for this program. I've had the privilege of interviewing some pretty special people over the years, Bob Cousy, Dominique Wilkins, but never, ever, ever Isaiah Thomas, the original Isaiah Thomas. And there's a real Celtics connection with Isaiah that goes beyond the playing days. And what I'm so fascinated to hear about, and I know Larry will get into it with him, is he's a mentor to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown spent a tremendous amount of time the last few years working out with Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas was Jaylen Brown's biggest cheerleader. And when Jaylen Brown got drafted by the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas was the first person to call him and say, you just wound up in the perfect location. So former Piston legend, NBA Hall of Famer, joins Larry H. Russell on this Sunday's edition of Celtics Beat. And Celtics Beat is going to give you tickets to see Isaiah Thomas's Pistons. All you need to do is subscribe, rate, and review Celtics Beat on iTunes. When we come back, the debate with Jared Scaly and Matt Rory will begin and end very quickly, I'm sure. Do you build around Isaiah Thomas, or do you build around Marcus Smart? It is the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPNNHRadio.com.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
This is Jared Weiss from The Garden Report, and I am here to talk to you about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million, but with our promo code GARDEN, will cost you just $389. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay in Boston today to get fitted for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on The Garden Report Celtics postgame show. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an amazing experience, and we got an amazing, perfectly fitting shirt. So go to Indochino.com and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today. That's Indochino, Indochino.com, and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media.
And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com, internet radio pioneers, and Celtics diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android. Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com, Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
It is the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com. With you this evening, myself, Patrick Gilroy, alongside Matt Rury. We've got our good friend Jared Scalley behind the glass. A little bit more upbeat tonight than we've been all week. The Celtics came into tonight's game losers of three straight, two of those three in absolutely embarrassing fashion. Celtics come out with a big-time victory tonight back at home at the Garden against the New York Knickerbockers. Your final score, 115-87. Plenty of good, positive signs for the Celtics tonight. Kelly Olynyk making solid offensive contributions, goes for 17 points tonight. Seven Celtics in total in double-digit scoring, which is great for this Celtics team. That balanced scoring attack has been a staple of this Brad Stevens team as they've become more and more successful the last couple of years. Solid contributions from Marcus Smart, goes for 12 points tonight. 10 assists, 6 rebounds. The guy that jumps off the page once again, of course, is always Isaiah Thomas with another 29-point offensive performance tonight. But the number that sticks out to me, because it has stuck out to me after just about each and every game, the Celtics' leading rebounder, once again, is Avery Bradley. The storyline is getting old. It's getting tired. It is getting stale. Somehow, someway, their 6'2" shooting guard grabs another 10 rebounds tonight, leads the team in rebounding for the game, has more rebounds than anybody else on the Celtics for the season, and average per game, he's winning that contest as well. So Avery Bradley, your 6'2" starting shooting guard, your best defensive player, is also your best rebounder. A good thing or a bad thing, boys?
Isn't that a good thing? Because we talked about that kind of on the pregame show as well. It's how we want Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas and those guys to lead by example, to be those leaders, to be gritty, and show the guys the way. And he's doing that. So obviously it's a bad thing if your guard is leading those human rebounds, because it means you don't have a front court. But at the same time, it's nothing to blame him for. He's doing what he's supposed to.
Am I allowed to hedge my bet here and say that it's a good thing, because obviously we want him crashing the boards and he is one of the better players on the team. He needs to lead by example, like you just said, Jared. But on the other hand, I said earlier, it's going to even out at some point. I have a hard time believing that he's going to average 5 or 6 rebounds a game. If he does, then by all means, all-star level type of stuff, that's wonderful. I would love to see it. But at some point, the big guys and other players are going to have to start getting some rebounds. And if he starts to lead by example now, that's good. But it's bad that nobody else is really doing it besides Marcus Smart, of course.
Well, boys, you know, the Celtics got a much-needed victory tonight. I think we can all agree on that because things, once again, this schedule that they're playing is relatively unrelenting here. And the Celtics go, once again, I think it's their third time in just 3 weeks this season, another back-to-back game with travel. Tomorrow night, they're in Indiana to face off against the 4-5 Pacers, the 3-4 Pacers. They're just one game behind the Celtics. One day off on Sunday, and then they play on the road again Monday against New Orleans, back at home Wednesday.
I don't really understand what's happening here. I thought this was something that the league was trying to cut back on, and I started counting at the beginning of the season. I think the Celtics have another 22 or 23 back-to-back sets this year, and that to me seems outrageous.
But I'll tell you why. If you really take the time, Matt, and you go through every other team's schedule, you'll see that about half the league doesn't have that and half the league does. The Celtics have got, I think, 26 or 28 nationally televised games this year. It is always the teams that find themselves on national TV quite a bit that are forced to play a more difficult schedule to be able to make compromises to appease ABC, ESPN, and TNT.
That's true. And actually, the Celtics do have a good chunk of times where they have 2 days in between games during any given week. So I don't think a lot of teams do have that luxury either. I think most teams are playing every other night if they're not having back-to-backs. But the Celtics do have some times where they have extended periods where they're not having a game. So that's good in their favor as well.
But the Celtics have got 4 games in their next 7 days. It all starts tomorrow as they travel to Indiana to play the Pacers. Again, they have Sunday off. They play Monday at New Orleans. And again, the week gets more and more difficult. They're back home against a bad Mavericks team. But then Friday, the big matchup at home against the Golden State Warriors. And you would hope that by the time Friday rolls around, this Celtics team on paper is operating at close to 100%. I don't expect Horford and Crowder, if they're back, to be fully conditioned once again to be ready to be as good as they could be a month from now. But it certainly will be a step in the right direction to have them on the floor when the Celtics return home Wednesday to play the Dallas Mavericks. Now, if you listen to Coach Stevens, the Celtics are saying Horford is making the trip. He could play tomorrow. That's a good sign. Jay Crowder is the guy that I'm more concerned about. Horford's a concussion. It takes time, but it's not a knee. It's not an ankle. It's not a shoulder. Crowder with that ankle, the Celtics are projecting possibly Wednesday for his return. I just hope they're not rushing him back. Again, you know, you want the Celtics to certainly hold their head above water here to play roughly 500 ball until they're back operating at 100%. But half of Jay Crowder doesn't help this team. We saw that last season.
Right.
Jay Crowder at 100% is the only Jay Crowder that's going to be a true difference maker for this team. So what do you do?
I feel like they do know better than that, and I feel like that's something that he said early on, right after this injury happened, that he was going to wait till he was 100%. I'm just not so sure that he realized how long it was going to take to do that. So I fully believe that him coming back on Wednesday is him rushing back, and that he is just trying to get back because he wants to get a game in before they play Golden State. That's what my conspiracy theory is on this one. If I had to read his mind, that's what I would say he's thinking, because he wants to play in that game. He missed it last year, I believe. And I think that he wants to play in that game. And he wants to play in those big games. He loves playing against LeBron James in Cleveland. He missed that game this year. So I don't think he wants to miss another big game. And if that means he needs to get his feet wet and get his legs back underneath him on Wednesday against Dallas, which maybe he has an ulterior motive against Dallas, by the way, the team that traded him away. Who knows? I feel like his mentality is to play sooner rather than later, and sometimes that's to his detriment.
So look,
and Matt, you have to also remember too, that Golden State game probably means a lot more to Jake Carr than a lot of people, because you realize how mad he was when KD didn't come here. When KD decided not to come here, he was the first one to voice his opinion. So you know how big that game probably means to him, how much that means to him.
But I love the fact that these short-term goals matter to Jay Crowder. I love the fact that he can't stand watching the game from the locker room, so he's decided to join the team on the court, on the bench. I love that about him. But look, at some point, Celtics management, Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge, they have to grab the guy and say, you're too important in April. And that's the thing. The Celtics, really, if they're going to do any damage come playoff time, they have to roll into the playoffs this year at 100%, operating at 100%. You can't have guys that are major contributors trying to rush back, coming off injuries, if that's the ultimate goal. So, yes, I understand the short-term goal. You want to stick it to your former team in Dallas. You want to stick it to KD. I get that. You want to play on national TV. Of course you do. And I love the fact that he's motivated and self-motivated to want to do that. But sometimes a coach has to step in and say, you know what, you're far too important to the long term here. We're not going to sacrifice you for some short-term self-fulfillment. I just don't like it.
So what if the trainers, what if Ed Lassert and the rest of the training staff says to Brad that he's got decent movement and Jay Crowder says that he's not hurt and that he feels fine, but he's really coming back at 75%. What do you do as a coach? You can't just hold him out.
No, you can't. It puts him in a very tough situation. We saw last year, he's still going to play 25, 30 minutes a night, sometimes more, playing on one leg because he's a tough SOB. You got to love that about him. But he didn't help the Celtics through the final 10 or 15 games that he played last season. He was more of a detriment on the court. His jump shot fell flat. He could no longer move laterally side to side and be the defender that he was before. So look, if the Celtics are going to find a way to get solid offensive contributions on a semi-regular basis from Kelly Olynyk, I think that affords Brad Stevens a luxury that he didn't have going into tonight's game. You know, before tonight, he didn't have that luxury. He was searching up and down that bench, got so desperate that he started Jaylen Brown for multiple games. I think Brad Stevens was able to take a nice sigh of relief tonight because he got contributions from two other guys, by the way, in Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk, that are just starting to round into shape after starting the season injured for the Boston Celtics. The number to join us here on our Movement Watch is toll-free phone lines 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Those very same lines brought to you by our good friends at Movement Watches. We all know department store watches are $400, $500, $600. The good folks over at Movement Watches have done a brilliant thing here. They've taken the middleman out, and they're passing that savings directly on to the one and only Matt Rohre. He's the only one that can get the deal. Matt is the only one that's allowed to get the deal.
Sorry.
But it's a hell of a deal. I suggest you follow Matt's lead. You do what Matt did. You head on over to movementwatches.com. It's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. It gets you 15% off your first order. It gets you free shipping. Of course, that's movementwatches.com. MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat, 15% off and free shipping with your first order. 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. So guys, you know, if you're out there and you're listening to the program, you put yourself in Brad Stevens' shoes. What does he do? And Matt brings up a great point. If Ed Lassert, Nettie Dew, and the entire training staff for the Celtics come Wednesday say, okay, he's ready to go. Crowder is ready to go. But you've seen him in practice. If you're Brad, you know that he's not operating at 100%. Do you listen to your training staff? Do you listen to the player who is going to advocate to play? You know Jay Crowder.
Of course.
He is a tough guy. He is certainly going to advocate to play. Do you have to sort of save him from himself? And maybe you activate him, but you don't play him. Ultimately, Brad has got the final say. You know, Jay Crowder can go to management. The training staff can go to Brad, and they can say, sure, he's ready. Suit up. But Brad Stevens doesn't have to play him if he doesn't believe that he's as close to 100% as he needs to be the guy that could really help this Celtics team.
Well, I think that we've actually seen this before with Brad Stevens and Marcus Smart. I believe that Marcus Smart last year, or maybe it was even the year before, regardless, he came back a little early. Stevens threw him out there and saw that Smart did not have what it takes to play in a full-fledged NBA game, and he sat for the rest of the game. And then he sat for a couple more games before he actually was put back onto the court after one of those ankle injuries that he had. So I think that that's probably the approach that Stevens takes. He lets the player determine whether he's able to go. He throws him out there, and if he looks like he's not up to speed and he's hurting the team once he gets out there, then he's going to sit him for the rest of the game. The problem with this about Jay Crowder compared to Marcus Smart is that I think Crowder is a little bit better at hiding his pain and hiding the fact that he might be hurt than Smart is. And that's part of the reason that he was able to be on the floor for a while he was hurt last year towards the end of the season, because I think that he was effective in some ways but less effective in others. It was clear that he was hurting, but he was still – getting the job done and putting the effort out there and was the best option at times. But now, like we were just saying before, we were talking about Marcus Smart, Olenek coming back, that's a big thing. So if he can be that offensive option, then if you're Brad Stevens, you do have that luxury to say, Jay, you're going to sit for a little while. We're going to let Kelly get his groove back and get back into a rhythm, and then we'll play you next week. Don't you worry. And you come back when you're a little bit more healthy, because I just don't think you're up to speed.
It's not going to be an easy challenge for Crowder, and it's certainly not going to be an easy challenge for his head coach. You've got certain players that are more than willing to sit out when they're injured. You've got other players that are itching and antsy to get back and make solid contributions. I feel like, especially with this year's Celtics team, Jay feels like he's letting his team down. It's good to get the team back to 500. Good to get them back in playoff positioning. Look, going into today, the Celtics were the 9 seed. Coming out of tonight's game, they're back in the 7 seed. And I know it's very early on to look at things like that, but you better believe the players do. You better believe Brad Stevens does. The last thing this team wants to do going into the new year, say 2017, is be forced to make a mad dash to the finish line in order to make the playoffs, in order to get themselves home court advantage. There are big expectations for this team. And there are numerous reasons why there are expectations and why Danny Ainge's expectations are not only important to this year's team, they're also very important to future teams. Because Danny Ainge needs to sell the Boston Celtics to a free agent this summer. Jared talked about it with me in the pregame show, and a lot of fans don't get into the salary cap and bird rights and what this team can do financially and what they can't do financially. I tell you what, if you're an advocate of keeping Isaiah Thomas around for the long term, then you have to pay Isaiah Thomas. And the only or the best way to pay Isaiah Thomas is to use your max money that you're going to have on another team's free agent this offseason. Bring him in here. You've got the money now. If you decide to pocket that money and wait a year, well, then Isaiah's up. And what you've done at that point, because you didn't bring in an outside free agent, when you spend that money on Isaiah Thomas, you don't have the ability to use your bird rights on Isaiah, which means you're essentially giving up the right to have Isaiah and another max-level player. Okay? That's the possibility the Celtics have. They can go out this offseason and sign a max-level player and still give Isaiah his money, go over the cap, and not pay a tax on it because they'll own his bird rights. But if they decide to reverse that and pay Isaiah first, well, then you can't use his bird rights, can't go over the cap for him, you do pay the tax, and you lose the right to go out there, or you lose the financial flexibility to go out there and sign another max player. And you better believe that when Danny Ainge is making his sales pitch to whatever free agents that he's targeting, you want to make a very similar pitch to what got Al Horford here. What got Horford here was $113 million and the fact that he got to come to a young up-and-coming team that went from 40 wins to 48 wins and was expected to continue moving up that ladder. If the Celtics take a major step back this year, it really does a number on Danny Ainge's sales pitch, which screws everything up when it comes to attracting a free agent and being able to pay Isaiah the dollars that he wants the following offseason.
Well, I think this transitions into Jared being able to talk about Marcus Smart and being the one that you should build around, because I'm going to agree with him on this one. I've said before
Hello.
That I don't think Isaiah is a guy that you want to be your max dollar guy, especially if Avery Bradley is the other guy that's going to be your max dollar guy.
Well,
I want
you guys to battle this out because I disagree, but I want to hear your reasons why. We got to go to a break. So when we come back, I'm going to dedicate the third segment to that. All right. The backcourt. Who do you keep? Who do you let go of? Do you want to bring somebody else in? Do you give Isaiah max dollars, or do you split that money up between Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley and wave bye-bye to Isaiah Thomas? Lots to get to in only a short amount of time. The number to join us here on the Movement Watch is toll-free phone lines 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Your Celtics victorious tonight. 115-87 was the final over the New York Knicks. When we come back, a battle royale between my producer and my co-host. Who do you keep in the Celtics backcourt? Who do you let go? Who do you pay?
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of movement watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about movement watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show to the Garden Report to CSL and to Celticsbeat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
This is Jared Weiss from The Guard Report, and I am here to talk to you about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million, but with our promo code GARDEN will cost you just $389. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay in Boston today to get fitted for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report Celtics postgame show. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an amazing experience, and we got an amazing, perfectly fitting shirt. So go to Indochino.com and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today. That's Indochino, I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O. .com and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, internet radio pioneers, and Celtics diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
CLNS Radio, CLNSRadio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPNNHRadio.com. It is the Celtics post-game show tonight. Patrick Gilroy, Matt Rury. We've got Jared Scaly behind the glass. And you know, I'm sitting here and I'm a little disjointed because I'm sort of staggered right now looking at statistics. We went into the break talking about Isaiah Thomas's value, his worth. Is he a max contract guy? Is he somebody that you build your team around? I don't think that this discussion around Isaiah is ever going to get old. I don't think it's ever going to be something that you can get 100% agreement on. But I will tell you this. Right now, he is ninth in the league in scoring. He's averaging a staggering 26.1 points per game. He's sandwiched in between Stephen Curry at 8 and DeMarcus Cousins at 10. And you guys are telling me that it's okay to let him go in favor of Marcus Smart? You're crazy.
Well, I think that he is the more all-around player than Thomas is, Smart that is. And while, yes, you do need a scorer, you need a guy that's going to fill it up. You need a player that can score the basketball, and that's something that the Celtics desperately have needed since Paul Pierce has fallen off his prime and then was subsequently traded away. So I'm not trying to say that Isaiah Thomas doesn't deserve a close to max money contract or a max money contract from somebody else. I think it more depends on who you're pairing him up with. And I feel like Celtics fans would be disappointed if Thomas, Bradley, and Horford were the three max contracts going forward. And to me, Marcus Smart is the more all-around player. He does a little bit of everything, and he is more hard-nosed than Thomas is. And while he's not as quick and his shot isn't nearly as good as Isaiah Thomas's, I feel like if you're really looking at a guy to build around, it's easier to build around a guy like Smart because you don't have to go out and get all of those players that fill the deficiencies that Isaiah Thomas brings to the table.
But I will say this, you sort of made my point there in a roundabout type of way, Matt. This is why it's so important. If there is an alpha dog to be had this offseason, if there is a true franchise player that the Celtics can bring in and be the head of their three-headed monster,
sure,
then you're absolutely right. Because, and this is why the timing of the manner in which Danny Ainge spends his money is so vital to the conversation. If Danny is able to go out this offseason and secure himself a max-level player who is an alpha dog, who is a true number one in the NBA, can Isaiah Thomas, because then Isaiah Thomas can be signed using his bird rights, and the Celtics go over the cap to keep him. They don't pay
then
a tax to keep him. Then you're in. So it's
then
all.
In. So
it all
I'm saying.
On
and
Danny
I'm,
Ainge.
You guys will notice over the course of the year, I like to hedge my bets around here, but it's for good reason almost every single time. And it's because, listen, yes, obviously, star player. But if you're going to end up with this team going forward as all max guys, then there's a problem. So I'm with you there. If you can get a player that's a little bit better than him and he becomes that second scorer type of guy that's giving you 25 points a game, then you're talking. Then you have something going on there. And that's a formidable offense right there.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the key here. That's the question. I don't think anybody really believes that Isaiah Thomas can be your alpha dog, your number one on a championship team. There are too many deficiencies there. And some of those deficiencies are just they're out of his control. Look, he works hard on the defensive end, but he's too small to be an impact defender. You know, he's not going to be the leading rebounder in the NBA. He's not going to block shots. He's not going to intimidate anybody. He doesn't have the longest arms like a Rajon Rondo. He's not as aggressive as a guy like Avery Bradley. But he is something that the Celtics have desperately needed. You know, not only did he get the Celtics single-handedly back into relevancy, he's somebody that legitimately gives you 25 points a game throughout the course of an NBA schedule. He's not like Kelly Olynyk, who gives you 19 points tonight. But is anybody going to be shocked if Kelly goes for 3 points tomorrow night on the road? That's the difference between being a good player and being a great player, being able to do it on the road and doing it consistently. So I just don't think the Celtics have the luxury at their stage and their development to easily walk away from or let a player of Isaiah Thomas's caliber walk away from them.
Does Jared want to get in on this right now?
I want him to. I keep on trying to poke you, Jared. Get in.
I mean, the thing with Marcus Smart, why I love him so much, and I mean, and Pat, I know you love know this, just his tenacity can't be made up for, his defense can't be made up for. I can't say I don't want Isaiah Thomas on this team long term. It's just I don't think he's good enough or want to pay him that much to be the guy. You know, I don't want to give him a max level deal. I don't want to build a team around him because I don't think he can be that guy. I know he can score the basketball, great, but he can't do anything else. And in the playoffs, we've seen him not be able to take a team past the Atlanta Hawks in the first round of a postseason. So I want to see him do more, and I don't think you're going to be able to do that now because now you have Al Horford, now you have help for him. Not saying he can't be part of a championship team, not saying he can't be number three or number four, but I just don't see him being the guy to lead you even out of the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he could even be a two, guys. I'm with Patrick on this one as far as the fact that Thomas is an elite scorer in the league, and if you can find guys that fit in around him to be that that dog on defense that is hounding the other guard, and then also be a facilitator at times, like Marcus Smart was tonight, then I think you're in good shape.
Look, and I encourage everybody that's still a doubter when it comes to Isaiah Thomas, and there are plenty of them, go to NBA.com, look at his numbers. They are eerily close to Stephen Curry. The one big difference between the two of them right now is, of course, Steph's three-point shooting percentage. It's otherworldly. All right, he shoots three-pointers better than most players shoot twos. Right now he's at close to 47%. But everything else, including assists, Isaiah averages more assists per game. Their shooting percentage is within 2 percentage points of each other. Isaiah gets to the free throw line more. I mean, everybody believes that Stephen Curry is the number one. And if Stephen Curry was a free agent and the Celtics had an opportunity to bring him in as their number one, I think the whole city would go crazy. You guys would go crazy. Jerry, you'd be a happy, happy man. But you've got a poor man. You've got a poor man's version right now. And according to the numbers, it's not so poor. So I think that it's when it's happening in front of you, you don't appreciate it until it's gone. And I just think that Isaiah could be one of those guys where if he does get traded or he does walk away as a free agent, we could be looking back 2, 3, 4 years from now saying, what did we do? Why didn't we pay him? The Celtics had one of the great offensive players in the NBA, and they let him go.
You really want to give him a max-level deal, though?
Again, it really depends on if the Celtics are able to get a true alpha this offseason. If they stagger it outright, yes, why not give him a max-level deal? If they're using his bird rights and it doesn't cost them a luxury tax money because they use the bird rights, they went over the cap to pay their own player, absolutely give him a max deal. Why not? He's worth everything that Al Horford brings to you. $113 million, sure, give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, if you're bringing in a guy, like, not that you're going to bring these guys in, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, James Harden, Leonard, a guy of that caliber, then I'm with you. But I just those guys aren't available. So I'm not sure who the player is in the offseason that's going to come through and match up with Thomas in a way that makes us feel okay that they're all getting max deals. But it just more and more seems to me like Danny Ainge is going to stand pat again.
Well, we got to say goodbye to our friends at ESPN New Hampshire, ESPNNHRadio.com. Thank you for listening. If you're listening on the terrestrial dial or the TuneIn app over there at ESPN Radio New Hampshire. And again, we got to get out of here. CLNS Radio is going to kick us off. What a heated debate we had tonight. A good Celtics victory. The final score, 115-87. Not perfect. And I think we got into why it wasn't perfect, but certainly a step in the right direction. And every time the Celtics are able to squeak out a win, get themselves a victory, when they're down Crowder, when they're down Horford, it's one game closer without falling further behind the eight ball. So one game closer to getting them back without taking another step back. Celtics fans, it's time to look out for Al Horford. Reports now that he is expected to play tomorrow as the Celtics hit the road to go down to Larry Bird country and play the Indiana Pacers. So tonight's show, as always, is brought to you by Movement Watches. MovementWatches.com/CelticsBeat gets you guys 15% off your first purchase with free shipping, as well as Audible. You head on over to audiblepodcast.com/trynow. That gets you a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Our music tonight, as always, was provided by Joshua Morse, and we want to thank all of today's callers, especially Nick Sesento, who really took up a good chunk of time, brought the heat tonight, as Nick Sesento does. And when Nick is my producer, we now give him the Nick Sesento Minute. It's essentially the third segment, and I've timed it out the last three times he was on. The Nick Sesento Minute has gone 9 minutes, 6 minutes, and one night almost 11 minutes. The man has got quite a bit to say. So for CLNS Radio, executive producer Larry H. Russell, Larry H. Russell is giving you guys an opportunity to see the Celtics play the Pistons. All you want to do is subscribe, rate, and review Celtics Beat on iTunes. It gets you into a drawing. The winner is picked at random for the Celtics-Pistons game coming up on November 30th. Subscribe, rate, and review. Larry H. Russell will be speaking to Pistons legend, Pistons great, Pistons Hall of Famer, and former Celtics nemesis, the first Isaiah Thomas, the real Isaiah Thomas, coming up this Sunday on Celtics Beat. And Isaiah Thomas and Jaylen Brown, very, very close. Isaiah Thomas, a big advocate of Jaylen Brown, thinks Jaylen's going to be a star. Be very interested to hear what Isaiah Thomas has to say about the Celtics' number 3 pick. For our program director, Justin Poulin, and the founder of the network, the one and only Nick Gelso. For my co-hosts, Matt Rory and Jared Scally, I am Patrick Gilroy. We will see everybody back here again tomorrow night for this when the Celtics take on the Indiana Pacers. Once again, the final score tonight from the Garden, the Celtics win 115 to 87. For Matt Rory, I am Patrick Gilroy. We'll see y'all tomorrow night.